October 11th, 2020. Welcome to the Sunday worship service of New York Church. Call to worship comes from John chapter 4, verse 23 and following. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your leading us to Jesus Christ. Though our circumstance, our situation may feel like a wilderness, but thanks to this wilderness, we have consolidated our focus. We have single-mindedly can drive ourselves towards you. Restore your Sabbath, your rest, your peace in the midst of our time. That even though we go through troublesome times in and out, but that we are still under your protection. We are living by the clock of a heavenly kingdom, though we are living on this earth by this physical time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, we are going to learn how to God restores the rest Sabbath in our hurried time by introducing the manna system of economy and the Sabbath day as its centerpiece. The message will be in 5 points. First, scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 16, 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." 13. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layers of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take more apiece according to the number of the persons each of you has in his tent." The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excesses, and he who gathered little had no lack. For every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became a foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." First point, through manna in the wilderness for 40 years, God is conducting two tasks. First, God is running the hospital in the wilderness period. The task is to correct the misguided economic practices of Egypt that abuses the people and usurps the labor by the system of slavery. Second, God is running the school in the wilderness period too. The task is to reinstitute the righteous economic practices of God's priesthood nation that exhibits mercy and restores man as an image of God by his labor in the world. Second point is that to restore rest the Sabbath in your time, God ties the acts of securing the food with the time by reclaiming his authority over them. At the Adamic covenant, God's instruction was to eat freely from the garden except a single fruit from the one single tree. At the Mosaic covenant, God's instruction was to gather food freely except one day from the 7 days. In a way, the 7-day-a-week schedule in time dimension functions like a Garden of Eden in a special dimension to Adam. Manna is God's way of restoring his sovereignty, both time and space realm. God has purchased our time and schedule by his son's sacrifice of the night. The Exodus began from the sacrifice of a Passover lamb in the night, and it paved the way of quail meat of the evening in the desert. Manna in the morning was possible because God had given his son's flesh in the form of quail's meat for the people to consume in the night. It had come once, and the distribution of manna began from the following mornings. That's why we only have one single occurrence of this quail from God's command. And the other occasion is in the book of Numbers. That's a different matter, different occasion. Point three, by controlling the distribution time of manna, God is reinstituting the balance between the labor of needs to survive with the food and the labor of fulfillment to revive. By the mandate of the creation and of salvation, daily distribution of manna limited in the mornings helps people to make the balancing act between the labor in the mornings and the work in the afternoon. Because when the sun grew hot, what was left on the ground melted. There was no point of wandering in the desert to gather the food. Basically, what God is saying to the Israelites is that please go home and help the family members with other house chores and do other activities like the serving the community, engaging in the creative activities as God has granted the talents and pursue God-given interests. Play. Have fun. Enjoy your time. It freezes man from this strange dichotomy that only values human activities that have to do with the collection of food, money gathering, if you will, and that distorted outlook that belittles the rest of human activities as frivolous, trivial, and inconsequential. There is no schedule and room for making a music, creating a beauty, playing the game, enjoying the nature, and leisurely conversing with the friends and family members and volunteering for the neighbors. In the midst of finishing up the set goals and objectives, we are lost in our purpose as God's image and suffer from perpetual sense of being restless and anxious in our own time of life. There is no wonderment in our life, only the wonderment. And we wonder that this is everything that life can offer, and we keep wondering as a restless wanderer. God did not provide the Garden of Eden and the fruits as to reward man from executing God's mandate. Far from it. Garden of Eden and also the fruit, they were gifts from God that enables man to carry out God's creation mandate, empowerment, not enslavement to the fruit. Causality and disharmony between the exertion of a man's hard labor and the reluctant and unwillingness that produce from the land became man's fate after the fall. It bears the scar from man's act of disobedience by taking the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's why the Genesis chapter 3 verse 17 says, "And God said to the man, you listened to your wife and ate the fruit which I told you not to eat. Because of what you have done, the ground will be under a curse." It is a curse, the dichotomy we're talking about. You will have to work hard all your life to make it produce enough food for you. So, in order for us to make a food, if we don't feel it is not enough, we're just making more harder, more harder, more harder, and there's no end of it. Weekly distribution of manna doubled on the sixth day as it helps. It helps people to take a rest on the seventh day from the labor of securing the food. It is God's way of relieving them from this curse. They want to take a rest of activities in the camp and spend time with your family in the tent and focus their activities of worship in the tabernacle. That's the backdrop of Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. It says, "You have 6 days in which to do your work. But remember that the seventh day is a day of rest. On that day, do not work, but gather for worship. The seventh belongs to the Lord, no matter where you live." By creating the weekly system of 7 days routine in the middle of a desert, and the faithful keeping of his promise of his scheduled distribution and collection to meet the physical needs, God was establishing the system of Eden in the time-space of Israel's wilderness journey. God's intention was this collective memory accumulated by the Israelites through the 40 years of wilderness, by the Israelite community, would have enough of attraction and the weight that the society and nation they would later create in the promised land of Canaan, and he would have hoped he had planted to the seed to reflect this value and outlook of God's covenant kingdom. Number four. Fourth point is, by letting people to exercise the amount of manna that needs to be collected, man has to learn to differentiate it between the need and the desire. The provision of food will be plentiful. Exodus chapter 16 verse 4 says, "Now I'm going to cause food to rain down from the sky for all of you." 16 and 12. They will have all the bread they want. God has removed the scarcity factor in the equation and only kept the demand factor on the part of a consumer, if you will, from the economics of manna. Supply and demands are the two foundations of any economic dealings, whether it will be the macroeconomy or a microeconomy. But in the wilderness economy of a manna system, God has made the supply factor irrelevant because there will be no scarcity of food by God's provision. By doing so, God has tossed the ball to the court of man in their demands. How much is enough? How many would be adequate? You decide for yourself, for your family, for your community. The second point is, the portion of collection is determined by daily because the needs can be varied by each day. 16:4. The people must go out every day and gather enough food for that day. In this way, I can test them to find out if they will follow my instruction. Two key injunctions are enough food and that day. They have the freedom to collect as much as they want within the time limit. To their surprise, in the wilderness system of economy, manna system, God has inserted the limited factor in time measure. God's testing is not necessarily about the amount of food collection by the people, which we almost assume that to be so. But the irony is that in the wilderness, people's assumption would be that people, the food will be scarce. But God is saying, no. I'll provide plentiful. God does not determine the amount and decide and decision for the people whether the collection will be enough and adequate or it being greedy and wasteful. God has made his people to bear the responsibility over it. But God puts the restriction on the time of a window that they will collect the food. System of manna was designed for society and also individuals to practice the economic system that empowers men and not to enslave men from their economic engagement, activity of food collection and consumption. Another point is that the result of God's testing on their collection would be determined not by how much surplus you have created, like our conventional wisdom dictates, but by how much you are able to approximate to equate the need and the collection, amount of collection, and leave nothing by another supply cycle of the day. The worth of a collection of food is measured by the people's appreciation how the food has served them to enable them to live as God's image bearer, just enough. Food is the means to serve the people in the family and in the community, and also it gives the mission for the people that who are engaging in the collecting the food. Manna system defies the conventional notion of artificial designations of the economic activities, human activities, such as agriculture, like a producing is the first type of industry, factory manufacturing, and the people service and knowledge industry. Manna distribution was an economic system designed to serve the people in every stage and the facet of their engagement. At the same time, it is to check the greedy heart in man and also society as a system. They are practicing by measuring the wasted resources granted from God's graceful provisions. Chapter 16, Exodus, verse 19 and 20, Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of you for tomorrow." But some of them did not listen to Moses and saved part of it. The next morning it was full of worms and smelled rotten, and Moses was angry with them. The last point, fifth. Sabbath day was introduced to protect the seven-day weekly system of renewal and rest. It works like a keystone between the 6 days before and the 6 days after. And keystone is the wedge-shaped stone at the apex of a round-shaped vault. It is the final piece placed during the construction and locks all the stones in position, allowing the arch to vault or vault to bear the weight. You see this example in the ceilings of Pantheon in Rome or any arch-shaped masonry window frames. Pennsylvania, for example, has a car plate. It says Keystone State and has the wedge-shaped keystone. And in its plate, because during the independence and the revolution of a war, Pennsylvania had a central role to lock the 13 states right in the middle to stay together. What God is saying is, you're not going to enjoy the rest and Sabbath if you ignore the Sabbath day principle, because you go against God's creation order at the same time, because you are missing that keystone. That binds 6 days before and 6 days after. If you lose it, if you collapse, then there is no boundary between they can protect the play and work and also the rest. But at the same time, you're not going to enjoy the Sabbath and rest either if you insist only one kind of shape of keystone structure, because it will be absurd. Fences and walls are needed to protect the house, but they are not the house itself. Sabbath is the state of restedness that you enjoy under the structure. But for that overcast ceiling structure of time to hold its place, you need a keystone of time, the Sabbath day, that principle to lock the stones together. Day of Sabbath is the principle day that holds the Sabbath for you. It is a safety measure for God's people not to fall back into the lifestyle of a slavery, that bondage bound by the need of food, or squandering your time just playing at the expense of other people's labor. So the construction of a Sabbath day is a very organic and goes through a process of dialogue and consensus building to be accepted by the community as a tradition. But like any other traditions, it has its limited capacity. If you approach it with this tradition, it's Sabbath, like any other traditions, as if it is the final form and the unchangeable, we apply it to your life with unchangeable rigidness, then its drawbacks would weigh more than its merits. It's not that Sabbath day is wrong, it's the way that you approach the Sabbath day has gone wrong. It is unreasonable to put the absolute value on the forms and expression of Sabbath day principle, Sabbath day. But the principle is still the same. But at the same time, it is insolent and frivolous to flat out ignore an established custom of Sabbath day and Sabbath day keeping and accepted traditions. Sabbath day and its keeping are agreed upon practices that weave many layers of contracts and myriads of relationships among individuals, communal, and societal bonds. The fact of the matter is that men are not the owner of Sabbath, creator of Sabbath, or the owner of Sabbath day, but the Jesus Christ, who is the creator, and who is the savior, and who is the Lord and master of the Sabbath day. As he said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath day. Man, including me, we don't decide over the Sabbath day at will. I need to inquire of the day to the owner of the Sabbath day how it is to be applied in my life and the community life and church's life. Sabbath day is the safeguard. It is the practice of time by the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the body of Jesus Christ, the church, to enjoy the benefit of Sabbath rest and to encourage and to disseminate it of this Sabbath rest in the community and the world. May this Sabbath rest will be plentiful, will be exemplified, will be exuberant in your time and in your world's time. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your message. Thank you for instituting this Sabbath day. Thank you for reinstituting this Sabbath principle as you have shown and granted through your Son, Jesus Christ, as in the Lord's Day. Lord Father God, help us to apply this principle of a Sabbath day principle as a keystone to secure the rest and peace in our time. I also lift up the offerings that you have granted us through our daily labors. Make them plentiful. Help them to enjoy your rest through their offerings and multiply them 60 times, 30 times, 100 times, so that your rest, your Sabbath, will be abundantly exemplified in their lives. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion rest of the Holy Spirit upon the people and their life, their family, their church, their community, their neighbors, for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, forevermore. Amen. Amen.